requirements of the zoning district. Projections by second-floor decks and stairs to upper-floor deck areas shall be limited to 5 feet into the front yard setback. Projection. Provided that the principal structure is currently conforming to the front yard setbacks of the zoning district, or if a variance is granted for the front yard setbacks. Properties with existing first-floor porches projecting greater than 4 feet into the front yard setback may have second-floor decks constructed over the existing porch, provided that said deck does not extend beyond the limits of the first-floor porch footprint. So it does permit first and second-floor decks.
So why does the...
5 feet.
Pardon me. Why does the code specifically state, and I gave you the section, single...
He just read it to you.
And you say that is?
102.118.3, Section B.
102.18...
Because it used to read that the second-floor decks can only project 4 feet. We changed it to match the first-floor deck.
The one I have is...
Well, you got the wrong one.
No, I have that one. But I want to pull out the one I have.
The first and second-floor deck aren't here.
We're taking up this time with the board, talking about overland information, whatnot.
I know. We're...
You know what? You're talking about destroying the views of two people who have a lot valued over $1.5 million, okay? And they have a right to be heard and understand why this is happening.
We're hearing you, sir.
They're not here.
But they already got a zoning permit.
We're also correcting you on some certain things and so on down the line, and bringing up information that's current in the books. So the building, the structure, is a permit is issued on the building at this point in time. It is not, there is an application here for the third-floor deck, which is what we're talking about. So let's confine our testimony to that third-floor deck.
So is what you're saying, before I go back to the third-floor deck? I asked, why don't you listen to my question before you object? You object to everything I've said. Are you telling me that I cannot raise the fact that the building is overbuilt pursuant to the Ventnor code tonight? Are you rejecting that argument?
You raised the fact, sir.
No, will you vote on that and grant him a waiver?
You have raised the fact. It is not in the application.
That doesn't mean that the variance doesn't exist. Roger, is the building overbuilt? Have you taken the opportunity to do the computation?
He sought a permit for a variance for a third-floor deck in the lot coverage.
Okay, if this building is overbuilt by 577 square feet...
Then they got to come back to the board.
At what point?
Ask the zoning officer.
Who's the zoning officer?
Jim Agnesino. Haven't you been talking to him?
Respectfully? No, I don't know. I thought you were the zoning officer.
No, I'm not.
What's your title?
I'm the board engineer and planner.
Okay. Let me get this short, because we're getting to it now, and it'll be over very shortly.
Am I on the stand here?
Pardon me?
Am I on the stand?
No, but I'm trying to understand what's going on.
Well, sir, make your comment.
But let me just finish, because I'm just about done with it.
You're not going to tell us what we're going to do.
No, I'm not trying, I'm not asking.
Make your comment. If you're raising a subject about it, say that's your comment, you think it's over the thing, and move on.
I will do that, but I just want to get... I want to make sure when I'm done and I go home tonight, I understand this. Are you saying to me that if this house is overbuilt, the neighbors still have an opportunity to come back through Jimmy Agnesino and do what? Because I don't understand. I'm asking Roger.
Excuse me. You said lot coverage is 35%?
Yes.
Allowable 60%. So
I'm sorry, 60%. I was talking about the impervious. No, 35%. The building structure is 35%. I'm just asking.
Obviously, you're getting your facts mixed up here.
Chris, please.
Okay, let me. And I'm going to get into this. I didn't expect that answer. Let me go to the SK drawing, and this. It'll answer the question.
You got 3 minutes, Mr. Schubert.
Thank you.
You got 3 minutes.
I understand.
And that's it.
It says
you're
here,
done.
Building coverage required 35%. 2,187.5 square feet. Proposed, 34%, 2,120 square feet. Suppose that lot, and I've got the computations with me, substantially or higher. What is the recourse? It's a simple question in front of an expert. What do you do if that, if he's got a home that just totally floats, is oversized on the lot?
And you report that to the zoning officer, and then he won't issue a CO.
Ah, see how simple it was? Okay, let me just say the following, if I may. And I'll be right on point, and I'll sit down.
Thank you.
By the way, Roger, thank you.
Mr. Silver, you're welcome.
Okay. And I hope you had a great time at the,
League Commission?
Wherever you went. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly how I feel about the third floor deck, not in technical terms and not in any other way. And I don't know if I can speak to my wife, but this is what I said to Jimmy Agnesino at least five times when he asked me how I felt. I don't care. Let the Silvermans enjoy their deck. It has no effect on me, and they should enjoy living in Ventnor. Okay, that is my point. Now, I'm just going to turn around to my wife. Do you have a problem with the third floor deck? Nope. So the Silvers at 112 do not have a problem with that deck. Is that what you wanted to hear, Chris? Thank you. Okay. I got to leave because he says he has to get out of here. So, you know, for what you build me, you can stay another hour. By the way, thank you,
Mr.
Gentlemen.
Silver, you have a good night, sir. Okay, is there anyone else who wants to make? Yes, sir.
Gene Miller, 5200 Boardwalk.
Come up to the mic, please.
Okay. And you were here last time, so you're still under it.
I'm a member of the community. I've been here for 10 years. I reside full-time now for two.
Sir, what is your address? I couldn't...
5200 Boardwalk.
Thank you.
The home 108 South Surrey belongs to my son. I reside there in the summer when my family is here. I see the direct impact of this structure. I realize Mr. Silver has already spent a lot of time. I don't want to really go into it too far. But the concern is just strictly with this property. It imposes on the rest of the neighborhood. It should conform entirely to the code. There's a question about the size of this particular structure. Our computations looking at it, it appears to be oversized. The house is under construction. Sure, we can lodge a complaint, and it will probably continue, but the situation is this thing's going to be built. And what's going to happen when it's built and it's over by almost 600 square feet?
Won't get a CO.
Okay, so where do we go from here? He won't get a CO. He's got a $3 million property.
First of all, nothing's been proven.
Okay.
It's all conjecture.
Okay, fine.
At this point, until something is hard and factual,
okay,
then discussions will occur.
Okay.
Until that time. So you can raise the subject.
Okay.
And if that, okay, you feel that it's possible, but the answer is we don't know.
You don't know. Okay, that's understandable.
And the other thing, the only fair way.
Just in line with what this home is to be, look at your SK drawing, look at the architect's rendering of this property. Take a look. I don't have the landscape plan, but I believe there's a landscape plan submitted here. It shows particular trees and shrubs. And take a look at the 3D image here, or 2D image of what this property is going to be. Take a look at the tree. There's a tree, not only does this property stick out, it's not the building that's the problem, it's the decks. The decks are in front of everybody in the block, and they're not translucent. And now we have a tree that's 16 feet high sticking in the front corner, blocking everybody some more. So it's just a consideration.
Chris, would you get rid of the tree?
Yeah, I mean, that would...
Can we get rid of the tree in the front yard?
Okay, fine. It's just what's been going on with this property. It's been designed to maximize that owner, I understand, but with no consideration for the rest of the block. It's just so we want whatever consideration we can get to make sure this complies. No one's arguing. The code is the code. It appears to be a problem. that five-foot encroachment over the front setback to accommodate these decks is imposing.
There's no five-foot encroachment.
Oh, no, it goes out 5 feet past the front property line to 10 feet. The decks are built at 10 feet.
Decks are legal.
Well, no, they're leaving or they're legal. Right, they are legal. It just happens to be that's what everybody's upset about on this property. It's what it is. I get it. It's something that really needs to be looked into. It's a problem for the community, not just this particular block. I think I've spent enough of your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're articulate, sir. Does anyone else wish to make comment? Ma'am, you want to make comment?
Not about this property.
No, well, then it's about this property only at this point in time. If there are any other comments? Hearing none, seeing no requests more, the public portion is now closed.
I will comment in response to the comment.
Can you speak to the... No difference
to the neighbors. The difference to the neighbors is putting the house back to 21 feet, so it could be at 15 feet. And that's a building permit that we had. And I submitted for it until the suggestion that we pull back, which we did, for the neighbors. At 15 feet, this house would kill this house. That's a significant consideration.
And I'm going to remind everyone that this particular hearing is about a third floor deck. That's what it is. Other information has come about, but this is about a third floor deck. And that's it. That's what we're doing this evening.
And
okay,
Chris, the lot coverage will conform now, correct?
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. Members, do you have any questions of the applicant, our professionals?
And it's time to have a vote.
Are we going to vote?
Yes.
Okay, so we vote and then it comes to light that there's the accusations that have been made are truthful and verifiable. Okay, so at that point, they don't get a CO. They have to conform. They have to knock the house back. This 577.
It would be my understanding that somebody would have to submit proof that
that's
lot coverage and building coverage.
Well, everybody has their rights of appeal.
Right.
If they build something that's not permitted, they'll have to either come back and ask for a variance. Or
so the neighbors have their
potentially take it down.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so this is like the
law. And the appeal is against the zoning ordinance, not the deed restrictions or anything like that. That has no bearing on the zoning.
We're not granting a variance other than for
third floor deck.
Okay. We're not doing anything else but a third floor deck. That's all we're interested in doing here.
If it's got to be off track.
Yeah.
Either so
too much information came into this hearing.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
But as a hearing goes, we are only doing and deciding the fate of a third floor deck. That is it. No coverage issues, no nothing, no zoning ordinances, nothing. So that is the case, and the community has any recourse they have that they so wish to get, and that is it. Okay, Leah?
Sure, it's just a C variance, one C variance to allow the third floor deck, which is outside the building envelope, and the conditions will note that they'll take that tree out in the front, and then any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed, and the applicant will comply with any other representations it made during the course of the hearing.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Second. I have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote in favor of the third floor deck. There has been some public comment about the deck is suitable. But at the same time, if you look at where the building could be set back and moved, 6 foot is there. So they were looking at looking at where the principal wall was versus now, and they're asking the variance for what could be our zoning. So it is half the width of the existing decks. They're not being onerous and going out much further. that is the case. So with that, it is a variance, and so that doesn't always meet the master plan because, as you know, and our ordinances, because the decks were supposed to be inside the structure, behind the principal wall. That is the reason for the variance. In this case, I am voting in favor.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I did not hear anything that justified the extension over what our ordinance requires, so I'm voting no.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote for the third floor deck as presented, and as represented. I don't see it as what's been represented through the rendering and the plans presented. I feel that it is in good taste, and that the curb appeal is such that you really don't notice it from the street level. And I think that as long as it's as represented and meets what was represented, I'm going to vote for it.
Peter Taco.
I'm going to vote in favor of the variance to allow the third floor deck outside of the building envelope. It's a common issue that comes before this board, if not every month, every other. I think it needs to be looked at on a board ordinance level. So I think that the elevation conforms to the intent of the spirit of where that comes from. So I don't believe that it's it should be a problem to the neighbors or anyone. So I'm voting for those reasons in favor of it.
Tim Coop.
So I generally don't like variances on blank lots. However, I will say there was a deference to the neighborhood, and the front of the house was moved back. That didn't have to happen. And ultimately, it's a 6-foot wide deck. So I think there can be some compromise. So I will vote in favor of it.
All right.
Carries.
That's it.
The variance, thank you all very much. The variance carries. And I'd like to thank everyone this evening for the coolness. Mr. Silver, thank you for the information as well. And that's all I have. Next application is that of M&M Holding, New Jersey, at 7818 and 20 Ventnor Avenue.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. Francis Balk at the firm of Goldenberg Mackler on behalf of the applicant, M&M Holdings NJ LLC. With me, I have the representative and sole member of the entity, Ms. Joanne DeSimone here, who will be testifying in support of the application. I believe everyone has probably seen the report of Mr. McLaren and hopefully has seen what we have submitted. I'll do a brief summary.
Can everybody hear? Okay. Could you speak into the microphone?
I apologize. Let me
lift it up a little bit and for you. Yeah.
I apologize. I'm not sure if everyone was able to hear what I had said earlier, but I'll summarize the application. I'm here on behalf of M&M Holdings NJ LLC. With me is Ms. Joanne DeSimone, who is the sole member. She'll be the one that will be testifying. I don't know if you want to swear her in now or after I give my summary.
We're in now.
Okay. You want to raise your right hand?
Joanne DeSimone?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. DeSimone, did you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth? Thanks. And you're the owner of the principal of the LLC? Okay.
I have with me certain exhibits that were submitted in part of the application. The first one is essentially the construction plans, which I'd like to reference. Just so as I'm summarizing the application, what we have here is the property that's on the corner of Fredericksburg and Ventnor Avenue at 7318-20 Ventnor Avenue. It's a corner lot on the corner there. It's three stories. On the first floor is a commercial building, and then the second and third floors currently are residential. It's a three-bedroom residential on the second and third floor. Two bedrooms on the second floor, one bedroom up on the third floor with a rather large deck that I'll be referencing in the plans as well that is on off of the third floor. What the application is here seeking is to separate the second and third floors to where there will still be the two bedrooms on the second floor and then the one bedroom on the third floor. In the rendering, in the center of the rendering, which is the second floor, you can see the only changes to the building itself from a building construction standpoint are installation of doors, just to separate the second and third floors. There's a common hallway that exists between the second and third floor, and all that's being done is to put in doorways there. There's not going to be any change to the structure itself, to the exterior of the structure, no increase of any of the structure, any of the deck or any bedrooms, no addition to the bedrooms. There's not some pictures here. What my client's going to testify to is how it conforms, how we believe in submitted, it conforms to the existing character of the surrounding community as to what is out there now. I'm sure many of the board members here are very familiar with the area, how there is commercial establishments up and down that block, and all, for the most part, the majority of them do have residential above them. I understand Mr. McLaren's report, the primary focus in his report was dealing with the need to have some off-site parking. With regards to the substantial or the unique characteristics of this property, this building's been there, and it essentially takes up the entire lot. There's not an ability to do anything with regards to showing or providing for off-street parking for it because that's the way the building was when it was constructed. It eats up the entire property. But the residential component of the property has always been there as far as the three bedrooms. It's still going to remain and exist as a three bedrooms. My client will talk about as far as why it's believed that this furthers the public policy in what she is intending on how to develop and utilize the property and why she's here before the board asking for this relief in that how it actually would benefit the surrounding character. And I'm going to let her go into that more, but I'm going to have a few questions of her now. I don't know if there's anything before I get into questioning the applicant, anything that the board has of me a request with respect to the application itself. Hearing none, I'll call up Ms. Johann DeSimone now to ask her a few questions.
Hi, I'm sure you're all not happy that I stayed because it's so late now, so I apologize. First, let me say, I live on North Belmont just behind it in the first blocks of Margate, and I've been there 24 years, and I've walked by that building for 24 years and have loved it every minute. And my hope is to bring it back to the glory that it was long, long ago. I'm not going to be somebody who owns a building and not take care of it. That building will be brought back to its beauty that it was before. I'm changing nothing of the outside, just reinforcing everything and making it a gem for Ventnor. So upstairs, there's a very large two-floor apartment. The first floor is just about 2,000 square feet. I'm not exact and on that. And the second floor is just under 900 with a 600 square foot roof deck. My hope is to rent it year-round to people who want to live in Ventnor and stay in Ventnor, be a part of the community, and spend money year-round. For me to be able to do that, I can't rent it as one big unit. Nobody could afford it. So my hope is to separate them, rent it to maybe a nurse in the hospital upstairs who's on her own, a couple students on the other floor. If I'm not able to separate it, it will force me to rent it as, which I do not want to do, a summer rental. If it's kept as one unit, in my mind, because I'm remembering back to my days renting, with a unit that big and a deck that big, it brings the opportunity for people to bring in a lot more people, which means a lot more cars. And I can't control that. I mean, I would try and police my tenants best I can, but that is just my viewpoint on it. So that is why my intention in the beginning was, because I will be the operator downstairs as well. I'm going to be a business owner in your community. I'm going to run an amazing business. I joined the Ventnor Business Association a year ago before I was even operational, because Carol still had a lease on the building. I have become friends with all of the business owners. I go to all of the events and meetings, and that's just my family's thought on that, trying to keep, you know, tenants in the summer to a minimal where they can be there all year round and be a functional part of the Ventnor community.
Now, you had the opportunity prior to today to...
Could you get closer to the mic?
Yes.
Sorry about that. I was trying to speak up. I thought you'd be able to hear, but I was asking Ms. DeSimone that prior to today, you had the opportunity to walk around in the neighborhood and take stock of what is existing up and down Ventnor Avenue. And I'd like you to tell the board a bit about what you saw there. And I know you have it on, you know, have it down there, but I'll try and direct you to anything that I think you might miss.
I think everybody knows what's there because everybody lives here and loves their community. So, and these are not exact. I was just looking at mailboxes trying to see. So if you start at 7311, Cookie has one apartment upstairs, which she rehabbed and is amazing. 7309 La Padella has an apartment, one apartment up there. Peace Pie 7307 has one. 7305 Donnie Simon, I couldn't tell how many they have, so I can't speak on that. 72, 23, 25, and 27, the Coldwell Banker Building, each has two apartments above it. Florida Cold Cuts on the corner across from the Caldwell Banker has two apartments above it. Hanagee's, I'm unsure, I know he has one, there may be more. Mrs. B's, right next door to me, has two mailboxes inside the door. And Gino's Pizza has two to three apartments, there's mailboxes on the back. Again, I'm not stating this as fact, it's just the mailboxes, I count it. And just across the street, the other property he owns where Dim Sum and the new pet salon is, 7315 and 17, has three apartments above it.
And I think you briefly touched on it, but just explain to the board why you believe that if the variance is granted to you, why it would not substantially increase, or why it would actually decrease, in your opinion, the off-street parking demand?
Because if I can separate the apartments, I intend to rent them year-round and not a seasonal rental. And a seasonal rental, as everybody knows, just brings in, especially with a large, that unit as it sits now is bigger than the house I live in with the two floors and the deck. And a unit that size, everybody knows what happens in the summer. I want to try and control it with year-round people and limit access to that second floor deck from the big unit. If the two bedroom unit is sealed off from the upstairs, the allure of that deck isn't available to them. There's no big parties to be thrown, there's no extra people to come to the location.
I have a question.
Sure. Just,
what happened to the rentals over 24 years? I mean, you have three units in there, and how is it over 24 years?
So you're ready? There was a husband and wife who owned the building for maybe 60-some years. When they passed, they left it to their daughter. The original owner signed the lease with Carol, who I'm very good friends with now, was the hairdresser, and he just told his daughter that she had to remain. As families fight, I think her kids didn't want to come, and 2 days after we made settlement, she passed away. It was just a sad story. So,
you know. Tell me the building's been vacant for 24 years?
Well, they would go and use it sometimes. I don't know what their story was with
since
it.
Since you owned it?
Since I owned it for a year.
Oh, you owned it for a year only?
Yeah, I purchased it.
You said you owned it for 24 years.
No.
She's lived in Margate.
The tenant was, I've lived in Margate right behind it for 24 years, admiring the building.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
God, no.
Now, I'm not sure if you would like me to mark the plans or not, but I was going to ask the applicant about, to reference the deck that she was just testifying about on the plans that were submitted.
Right.
If you'd like me to mark that as A1, I could do that.
That's fine, thanks.
Ms. DeSimone, on what's been marked as A1, the construction plan, over to the right where I'm pointing to is the apartment, proposed apartment 2. That's the one-bedroom studio?
Correct.
And at the top part of that, where it says uncovered porch slash deck, that is what you're referencing as what actually exists there. I don't want the board to think we're coming here for an application on a deck after what we just heard.
It's been there forever.
I'm miffed here. What is the benefit to the city of doing this?
Well, that is up to you.
It's not up to me.
No, I'm saying to the city. The benefit to the city is that you will have year-round revenue from year-round tenants.
You don't get the revenue from the year-round tenants.
Well, not the rent, but they'll spend money in restaurants, in stores, in the bakery across the street, at Gino's, at Peace Pie.
It doesn't get any of that.
Well, tax dollars.
We represent the citizens of the city.
Okay.
We're in the city government.
Okay. Well, the other benefit then would be, in the summer, instead of droves of people renting my apartment, it'll be the same people year-round that are part of the community, instead of me renting it. And I don't want to be a seasonal landlord. That's not what I want to be. I want to be a landlord with people who respect my property and respect the people in that area. And I'm going to be downstairs running a business, and I want to respect everyone around me. I want to be a good asset to Ventnor, and I want my tenants to be a good asset to Ventnor. I don't want to rent, advertise it, and get this crazy family from wherever, and they have all these kids, and the kids all bring friends, and they're having parties every weekend, and they blow out in 10 weeks when the summer's over. That's not what I want. But I'm not made of money, and I have to collect revenue on the apartments.
Well, what happens if they move in, they have 3 kids, and they all go to high school? That's $75,000 a year that the city's got to spend to send them to school.
Well, they couldn't move in with 3 kids because there wouldn't be enough room.
3 bedrooms?
No, not if I separate it. If I rent it as one, they could move in with 3 kids.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. Then there's kids, whatever.
If I rent them separately.
Doesn't make 2, 3, whatever.
Okay.
And in the case is, the negative cash flow to the city is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it's the same amount of bedrooms. In my mind, if I rent it as a 3-bedroom or I rent it as a 2 and a 1, the same amount of people can live there. The problem is if I rent it as a seasonal rental, they usually tend to pack more people in. And that's not a negative on you, but it's a negative on the neighbors with everybody coming with cars to visit this seasonal rental.
That's the owner's responsibility to police that.
Nobody polices that.
Well, that's the owner's responsibility.
I understand that it is,
your responsibility.
But no one polices who's renting in their building. But I do respect what you're saying.
People do that.
Okay.
I know people that do it.
Yeah, okay.
In there. So, well, I'm trying to find out. And then the other thing is that I'm trying to figure out how we're going to add another unit of density to the city as well.
What's a unit of density?
Another dwelling.
No, I'm not adding any dwelling.
Yes, you are. You're adding us another unit.
You're splitting it from 1 to 2.
Right, but it's existing as it is.
You're going from one
just
unit
to
only one unit.
Well, what is on that third floor now?
It's just a bedroom. It's like a livable unit. The deck, you walk out onto the big deck.
Well, the design you have here, it's not. It's a sleeping room with no door.
Yeah, there's a bathroom, a bedroom, a walk-in closet, a living room, and a deck.
It's represented as a studio.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I would rent it as, a studio. If not, I rent it as a 3-bedroom, 2-floor with a deck.
And restrict the use of the deck to that third floor.
Correct. That's the point in it, to restrict the use of the deck, because if I rent a big unit with a giant deck, it's just, people are going to be out there.
Well, just put this door in and stop going up there. I mean,
I couldn't do that.
I don't have to agree with Jay. The only person that benefits of this is...
It's the landlord.
I'll leave it as is.
Right.
I couldn't put a door and tell my people you can't use your upstairs if I left it as
but
is.
You could, certainly.
No, no.
Restrict the use of the building.
No, I'm trying to find the benefit to the city of doing this. We're increasing density, or potentially we could be, when you increase density, the city has increased costs. The tax rate's not going to increase at all. For the city, basically, any significant amount. So we're basically I don't see where the benefit to the city is. And I know there's no parking, but the commercial, a lot of the commercial places don't want, you know, increased units coming in. So.
Well, I would be that commercial unit downstairs. The commercial that was down there was a hair salon where people would park and be there for an hour, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Commercial is commercial. That's it. And we when there's a residential unit that's coming online new right now, anyone we've approved, they've approved with parking. Commercial didn't have parking, but the residential did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the latest the approvals we've done over the last number of years. Done that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
We don't want to take away the commercial parking.
I understand, yes.
So that's the case. So I'm raising a few issues, and I'll defer to the board. Go ahead, please.
Can I jump in on this?
Please.
I just want to brief the board with my report. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the report is on the application of MM Holdings NJ LLC, 7318, 7320 Vetner Avenue, Block 86, Lot 17, seeking C variances and D variance, located in the city commercial zone. So it's a use variance and a substantial benefit variance. So as the testimony provided, that they're going to convert one unit into two units, and where in a zone where mixed use is not permitted. So they're expanding a non-conforming use for the residential aspect. On top of that, with the city zoning ordinance for the residential and residential site improvement standards for parking, the current demand is 2.1 parking spaces, so you ran it down to two. With the two units, they need 3.8 spaces, which you ran up to four. So they're increasing the parking demand by two, which is in essence four spaces, because they have zero. And also, the testimony provided tonight has not even touched on the required D variance testimony for special reasons. I haven't heard anything in regard to special reasons in promotion of the zoning purposes, promotion of general welfare, promotion of safety, free flow of traffic. And also the testimony said that she wants to rent to year-round people, but there's no guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, if nobody rents it year-round, and somebody knocks on the door, I rent it for a week, I mean, that's going to conceivably could happen in two units, not just one unit.
I've had a lot of people already acquiring.
The testimony has not been complete at all for a D variance.
Can you tell me something? What could I do to benefit more Vetner? I'm open.
You're supposed to provide us that testimony.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You're providing us.
I mean, in Roger's report, he spells it out. The D variance and what it should do.
Do we need to vote on the variance, the D variance?
We need to vote
it's
on the D
variance. It's
going to
be a D variance and a parking mm-hmm. variance.
D variance
part
and
of the
parking
application.
Right. So we could, in essence, deny the D variance and nullify the apartment.
No, there's an existing, he's got what's called an existing non-conforming use. There's commercial with a three-bedroom apartment above it. That stays, but now when they want to make the three bedrooms into two units, a two and a one, you're technically expanding the non-conforming use, which is why you need the D variance.
Right. I understand that's the issue where that's my issue with it.
So I think her point is...
Yeah, it expands it over non-conforming use. And down,
if it gets an I, she can keep what she
whereas
has.
Whereas if this application were to convert this to all office space, she could technically do that.
Assuming it's technically in the city commercial district, yeah, office space, would, yeah, she could do that.
Office space and rent.
Could do that, yes.
I mean, yeah.
Five offices, probably.
Yeah, she could do that. I think her point is I have three bedrooms now. I'm keeping three bedrooms. I just want it to be two and one because, and her position is it'll be better for the city and for her and for everybody.
The zone is not a mixed-use zone. It's a commercial zone.
It's a commercial zone.
So if the whole building were commercial.
Right, but I already, it's
residential, yeah.
We understand the configuration. It's a non-conforming use.
If you need to find a way to maximize the building, maybe a different direction would be.
Just in response to Mr. McLaren's indication about not having testimony with regards to the uses for a D variance, my client, we submit, did talk about the promotion of general welfare as far as trying to minimize kind of larger groups that would have more of a burden on off-street parking versus having a longer-term tenant in each of these places that we believe would actually decrease the off-street burden, parking burden. To where that would promote the general welfare and the zoning ordinance. What we also testified to in the beginning was with regards to the surrounding neighborhood about how up and down every single commercial property that's there for the most part, with exception of a very few, do have multiple residential units above them, all within this zoning area. The commercial zone in that area is a small little kind of commercial zone area. It is in the commercial zone, but it's a small area where right behind it, when you have up and down Fredericksburg and all that, are different zones. We believe that, you know, the excuse me, the burden that would be imposed by this, if the relief is granted, would be minimal and it would not be a substantial detriment on the public or to the zoning ordinance as written.
What about the relationship to the master plan? How does this relate to the master plan? And consistency.
How does the application relate to the master plan? I do have your master plan in my folder there, and with regards to some of it, the master plan talks about when it was done in 2016, it talks about how Ventnor has been changing from a residential into a seasonal occupancy, and how, you know, talking about the students and stuff like that, how it has been decreasing substantially. I think in 2000 it was something like 1,100 in the school, dropped down to about 750. And I'm not suggesting that this is something that's going to address that, but it talks about how there is a need for some more housing to address that. But I can grab out the master plan and go through some of the comments that I have in there or that were in there. It's believed that this application would not substantially impair it.
I mean, this hypothetically, the property could be split into two apartments. You have a vision for your building. Okay, you sell that building and someone comes in and they could short-term rent both of those units.
Right.
So we're here, we have to protect the zoning that's in place, and that's why we're here. So there's not anything that of substance that we can hang our hat on here. I mean, Peter brought up a excellent point that you could do something commercial there. on the upper floors. Light. But, you know.
I mean, my concern is a variance lasts a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you may not own this forever. So the next owner could do all sorts of things. I would also worry about a 600-square-foot open porch that could be enclosed to make a larger second-floor apartment. You know, so that's just stuff that could happen. And I think, you know, one of my worries is variances last forever. So as well-intended as you are,
It'll be a three-bedroom or a two-and-one.
Understood.
I'm 55. I just bought the building. I hope to be here a long time. I have two children that I hope will have that building, one the building and one the house. But, you know, things happen.
Yep. Agreed. Thank you.
Okay. Are you complete with your application? Do you want to continue?
I'm sorry.
Let's talk to your attorney. Okay. Are you complete with the application?
Is there anything else that you would like the board to consider here, or do you believe it's...
I don't think so.
I'm going to open up to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone in the public who wishes to address the board?
On this particular application? Okay.
So, again, anyone who wishes to address the board on this application? Seeing no hands, no it. The public portion is now closed. At this point, you can act up. You can. Any further comments you wish to make? Otherwise, we're going to a vote.
Any further comments?
Nothing further.
Okay. Then you've seen Mr. Rogers' report. Are you in agreement with Rogers' report?
We have seen Mr. Rogers' report, yes.
You in agreement?
Well, Mr. McLaren's report.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes.
Read it? You're in agreement?
Yes.
Okay, fine. And you are complete now?
Yes.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any further questions of the applicant or our professionals? If not, Leah, could you go right to, we're going to do a vote on the parking variance and a use variance.
Yeah, one vote.
One vote.
They're intertwined enough. Roger, am I understanding correctly? 3.8 is the, with a 2 and a 1, 3.8 parking spaces, which is 4 is the requirement?
Yes.
Okay. So we need a motion and a second to grant the use variance to expand the non-conforming use because they're going from a 3-bedroom, they're going from 1 3-bedroom unit to 2 units, a 2 and a 1, 2-bedroom and a 1-bedroom, and then the parking demand generated is 4 parking spaces, and there's none proposed. So those are the two variances. We'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second, please. Second?
Second.
Okay. Have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote no on this application. I think it's a big leap to say that the parking is going to be better with long-term rentals than short-term rentals. We just don't know. The other thing is I think that and it has to go back and forth even with the use variance, that I didn't feel that enough, there was no really criteria that showed the benefit to the city of granting a use variance. Only thing I see is that additional costs, additional administration, and even perhaps increased load on parking overall. And the variances do run with the land. And so, while this applicant may be very, very considerate, caring, and everything else, the next person who owns that property may not be. So we have to look to the future. And so with that, I am voting no.
Roman Abby Hutch.
The issue becomes whether we expand a non-conforming use to that struggle. I like the building. I'm happy that we're going to continue commercial. But I think it's not justified to expand an existing, a non-conforming use. be against what we're trying to do with the regulations and the master plan. But I understand what you're saying, and it's not that I don't disagree, but I think we just have to proceed that we should be increasing non-conforming uses.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote against the application just because of the expansion of an existing non-conforming use. There's no reason to advance the zoning. So, in that event, I'm going to vote not in favor.
Peter Taco?
I'm also going to vote against the application. I see no benefit to the city. I feel that it just possibly increases the parking burden that is already a burden. I feel for the applicant. I maybe look at it and think the exact same thing, but I just can't see the expansion of the existing non-conforming.
No hard feelings. I'm going to rent it for 4 months, and it'll be vacant the rest of the time.
Tim Coop?
I also am going to vote no. While I appreciate all the efforts, the variance runs with the land, and the future may not be the same, and the both increasing density and the expanding nonconformity of parking is just not consistent with the master plan. Thank you.
It did not pass.
Yes. Thank you, board member.
Thank you for coming to see. Okay, we are complete. Is there any other business before the board this evening from any member, any of the members? Sir. Pardon me?
Speaking of the business?
Sure, if you come up, you've been waiting patiently.
Yes, thank you very much.
My name's Robert Rosenblatt. I live at 607A North Victoria Avenue in Ventnor.
Okay. I didn't hear you in your what street?
The first original planning meeting of the Ventnor Shopping Center. I'm sure you're aware of, maybe not aware of the problem that happened with the meeting, with the sending out of the certified letters. None of you are aware at all?
We're aware.
We know anything
we're
about
aware.
That.
Some of you know, some of you don't know.
We're aware.
Okay. Well, for ones that weren't aware, certified letters were sent out to only 11 addresses when they were supposed to be sent out to 33 addresses. Okay? So there was a big mistake made. I had notified Commissioner Lankford about 6 days prior to your final approval of the resolution, and he put me in touch with the solicitor, Mr. Lemus, Oh, you, okay. I spoke to you.
Yeah, we spoke.
And you said you would contact a couple of the board members about it, and I was hoping at that time that maybe you guys would discuss it, that the citizens, and you said earlier you're here to represent the citizens, that we didn't get our right to speak at the first original meeting because we never got certified letters of this meeting, and that maybe you guys would have withheld the final approval and maybe brought it back to the planning board, resent out those letters, and gave us a chance to be heard again. It seems like a pretty big error when 33 letters are supposed to go out and only 11 letters go out. And those 11 letters that went out are the last page of the 33 letters that were supposed to go out. So if you look at the page, on the very last page of list of names, the last page was the only page that went out. Okay? And that's a pretty big mistake. Now, I know Mr. Lankford at the time, he was down in Florida. He was with his father. So that's when
major, so.
He put me in contact.
I think a major does.
With the city solicitor.
Was that a?
So I was hoping at the time you guys would put it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I could chime in. I think part of the problem is we heard the application, we approved it. Now we're under a timetable that we have to adopt the resolution within 30 days. So if we don't do that, we're going to, the applicant's going to have an issue. And what happened with the notices is, and I talked to the chairman and a couple other board members about it, and we did adopt the resolution. So right. We're trying to ask them to come back, like on an informal.
Well, I understand that. I spoke to the commissioners when they were leaving. And they both told me that they're trying to get Mark Recko in with everybody here.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to resend out the letters. We're all going to sit down. We're all going to go over it again. Maybe we can all work it out all over again. Maybe try to do a redo and see what happens.
Do you live on Little Rock Avenue?
Huh?
Victoria.
Victoria Avenue, right next to the shopping center.
We're right across from AutoZone, yes.
On the street where they're proposing?
Yeah. You have Little Rock Avenue, yeah. Which is a dirt grassy road. Right. Right across the street from the firehouse.
Right. Your
right.
House back.
If you look down that road, there's a bunch of 6-foot fences.
Yeah.
That's the road they want to pave.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And
the mall wants to put two entrances on that road. He wants to get rid of the one-way entrance that goes into the mall now.
Right.
He wants to do away with that. And he wants to put, on that one-way road, he wants to put two openings right behind our houses. Okay? So, you're going to have a bunch of traffic now go down behind our houses. It's going to sort of be like Monmouth Avenue or Winchester Avenue, constant flow of traffic. But it's not going to be one way, it's going to be two ways. And they're all going to be going behind our houses.
They're
going to have no line of sight because we've got 6-foot fences. So if a car goes, veers off or something like that, it's going to go right through our fences. Someone's going to get injured, someone's going to get killed.
One-way street.
No, it's two-way street.
It's going to be ingress and egress, to my knowledge.
I agree.
I got the map of it right here.
My understanding is, I thought they met with you. They met with They met. I thought they met with the owner.
We tried to meet with the owner, and it was just a big mess.
Okay.
He blamed the city. He said this is what the city wanted.
No, I was talking about the actual roadway itself and
yeah.
How to handle that. That they were trying. There was supposed to be some kind of meeting.
We tried to meet with him, and just it was everybody talking at one time, and it just ended up being a big mess. Some questions I want to ask you guys, because does the planning board have say over what the city does with the city street, city property itself?
No.
Okay. Are the entrances that he's proposing, is that on city property or is that on his property?
It goes from his property to a municipal street.
Right.
Just like the Wellington Avenue is a municipal street, same thing. It's the road there is a bona fide roadway.
Yeah. So the openings going into his mall, would that be considered his property or the city property?
Once he crosses the line from the city to his property, then you're on municipal property until you go on private property.
So it would be his property then?
Yes.
If you're referring to
the street is not
Rock,
his property.
The unimproved portion of Little Rock?
Yeah.
Well, that's city property.
That's city property.
Yeah. Right. And so what they want to do is make sure that the entrance to the mall is synchronized with the light. Because right now,
it's a problem.
Well, no, you're going to turn down Little Rock.
He's
going
back.
You're going to turn down Little Rock. You're going to go down.
Yeah, we're not going to get tonight. I don't think we should be getting into a discussion about the traffic patterns. And we don't have plans. We don't have the people here. We're not equipped to do that.
But yes, I understand that.
Facilitate something. What we'll do is we'll look at get questions answered for you and get you involved. That's the main thing.
Yeah, we're really concerned about safety.
Sure.
Our safety, because we don't have a line of sight. And people live in their backyard. They, hang in their backyards, you know?
I mean, there's all kinds of solutions to these problems for roadways and so on, and I think it just has to come out. We're not here to we're not equipped to discuss that. There's other people.
That's why we're hoping that, you know, everyone will get back together again so we can all discuss it, come to a solution.
Right.
You know, maybe work out something with him. Maybe he can move the entrance, make the middle entrance wider or something. And you still have a problem with where the buses
are
going.
The entrances are plenty wide now. The primary, this is a secondary entrance. It's not the primary entrance,
right?
First of all. And that's the way you have to understand. It's not the primary. And what's going to happen is that all the primary entrances stay in force, that's it. There are some problem with the firehouse, with other thing in there. It's a problem intersection, everybody understands. So it'll have to be sorted out. We'll have the proper people here. They'll sort it out.
Right.
And it comes in. But there's all kinds of solutions that could be gotten and done that can work. But it's not the primary entrance to the shopping center, is what you have to understand.
Hopefully when we all meet, we can settle everything.
Yes, but that would be, and so we'll see if we can get something resolved so you all can talk and have your say.
Yeah.
Because you should.
There's a few of us here.
Yeah, but we're pretty much representing everyone on the block.
Traffic right behind our fence. Buses, cars, trucks. These are our gardens, our yards. We have children, grandchildren. We entertain back here. A guardrail, tree, and shrub is not going to the car coming into my backyard. Not too long ago, the car plowed right into AutoZone. Get out the front door. I have pictures on my phone of the car that went through that buffer fence into the back road. And if that road had been paved, it would have been in my neighbor's yard. So for a lot of us, it's safe. You know, so he wants to make, from what we heard, two entrances. You know, one here, one down the end for the delivery trucks. We're going to have semi-tractor trailer trucks.
Don't know what's going to be going on that roadway. So we'll characterize that.
The developer could amend his plan,
right,
to keep his traffic on his property. City hasn't paved that road in the 33 years I've been there.
We'll get to the bottom.
Your name, just Linda. Okay.
We'd like to hear your name and your phone number, please.
I think we have that on some emails and stuff. Well,
but
thanks.
Yeah,
sure.
Thank you.
Thank you
and
for waiting.
And by the way, thank you for waiting. I mean, it was an arduous wait. I mean,
I wasn't sure if he was ever going to stop.
I know, but I have to appreciate. I have to thank you for waiting to stay to have you.
I've known Chris my whole life.
And thank you for coming out.
I built all this out. My Sandy was my stepfather.
Right. Oh, Sandy was your stepfather?
Yeah.
Then you know Manny Levin.
Yeah.
Manny was his attorney over there.
Right.
That used to represent.
And you could also run in another problem with that back road that's home to
animals.
Nesting birds, nesting turtles, nesting possums.
Squirrels.
It also runs into a problem with wildlife agencies.
Growth and habitat back there.
Yeah.
They don't bother us, and we don't bother them like that.
Okay.
The main thing is safety. You know, we have our safety.
I apologize. My name is Stephanie Milano Dillon. I live at 604. I just want to say one thing to your comment about that not being a main road. Our street, unbeknownst to everyone, if this was August, I would have did a car count. Our street is used as the entrance to summer traffic and the exit on Sundays. Again, if this was summer, I would sit out there and do a car count. They avoid Dorset Avenue. They avoid Wellington Avenue. They come down our street, whether it's from the playground or VFW, to avoid the light, whatever. So with those new things there, and we are as excited as all of Vetner that this is going to be a new Vetner Plaza. We just like the rest of Vetner, where it won't interfere with their life, we don't want it to interfere with ours. And we do feel that traffic, that summer traffic that we cannot control, will now double.
Ma'am, I live on Surrey Avenue about a block from you, so I know.
So you understand.
I know the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I used to go the back way into the shopping center when that was all open too.
Yes.
Remember that way? Yeah.
The woman there's
so,
that.
Yeah, we remember all that stuff. So.
Thank you very much.
But, thank you.
Good.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Comments we have, or we move for adjournment?
I'm just, well, we can adjourn. I have a comment about Surrey.
Okay. Make a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
All right, man.
We're adjourned.